Shlavei Sulam, Volume 5, Matter of Above Reason, continuing from last Friday, page 120. And like that, we can interpret the words. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For it is not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. We see that when the Creator sent Samuel to anoint one of Ishai's sons for king, someone understood, according to his eyes, that Eliab, son of Ishai, was worthy of being king to Israel instead of King Saul. And the Lord did not agree with his understanding. But finally, when they brought David, who was a shepherd, and David was ruddy, and with all of beautiful eyes and goodly to look upon, and the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And what does that teach us? We see two things here. First, Shmuel understood with his own mind that by the virtues of Eliab, that he was worthy of being king over Israel. And the Lord told him, "No, do not go with your own mind, because what concerns the Lord, then the mind doesn't help at all. Because the Lord wanted to anoint a king, it is called between man and God. There is no room for the mind. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." But what did the Lord tell him? "For it is not as man seeth, for man looketh on the heart, on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." By the above we can interpret that man looketh on the outward appearance, and that's good between man and man. Then it is good that we can go within reason, which is according to what man sees, whereas the Lord looketh on the heart, meaning what concerns the Lord is above reason. A man cannot look according to his eyes, but above reason. Thus, it turns out that we should discern two things. A, between man and man, between man and God, above reason is better. And between man and man, within reason is better. That is why the Lord told him, "Do not look upon his outward appearance, because in the matter of looking in his eyes, it is good between man and man. If you can see his virtues within reason, it is better. Whereas here, when I want to anoint him as king, that action belongs to me. I want him to be king. That is called between man and God." Here, above reason is the right work. That precisely by that there will be a possibility to come to reception in order to bestow. Otherwise, he will fall into receiving in order to receive, which causes separation and distancing from holiness. But here we ask, since a person decided to go above reason and not look at all the questions that the body begins to ask, he overcomes all the when the body begins to work in the path of bestowal and faith above reason, and he overcomes all the obstacles when the body brings in questions from all over the world, and he closes his eyes and does not want to look at anything which contradicts the mind and heart, but decides to go only above reason. And after that decision, sometimes he gets great excuses that the body must agree with. So he sees that now he's going within reason. And what he can do, when he now sees by those excuses that he got from above, he tells himself, "What should I do? That now I have no room to be able to work above reason, because I see that everything that I work in order to bestow, I understand that that is how it should be. But now, he has no questions about the work of God, but serving God, that people must work above reason. And because the work is mainly above reason, so what should he do in that situation that he's in? The Baal HaSulam said that when a person attains some revelation from above, and now he feels that it is worthwhile to serve God, it turns out that until now, when he had the work above reason, the body did not agree with that work, and he always had to overcome it, and he needed the Creator to give him strength to go above reason. Whereas now, he doesn't need the help of the Creator anymore, since now he feels that there is a basis upon which to build his building, meaning that now he has support, he has something to rely on. It turns out that now he blemishes faith. From what he used before, because now he can say, from the way he was using it before, because now he can say, thank God I'm rid of the burden of faith that I had to carry, because now I have a basis within reason, because I've received some awakening from above, and the body does agree that it is worthwhile to observe Torah and Mitzvot. It turns out that by that he blemishes faith. The Baal HaSulam said that then the person should say that now I see that the real way is above reason. And the evidence is that now that I have attained some illumination from above, it's only because I have took it upon myself to go above reason. That is why I've been endowed with the Lord bringing me a little bit closer and giving me some awakening from above. And that illumination that he got from above gives him an excuse for all the questions. It turns out that it testifies to the above reason. Therefore, what should I do now that I will continue above reason? Only overcome and begin to search for ways how I can dress that work above reason. It turns out that by that he does not blemish his faith that he used before he attained that illumination from above, because now too he doesn't take the illumination as a foundation to build his work on, but he takes that illumination as a testimony that he's taking the right path, meaning that it is faith above reason, that only in this work the Creator brings man closer to him and gives him room to come closer to him, because that nearing will not let him fall into the vessels of reception called within reason, since the Creator sees that he tries to go only above reason. It turns out from the above about the matter of above reason, there's a difference between man and God and man and man. Because between man and God, if you can see the virtues of his friends within reason, it is better. But if within reason he sees only the deficits of his friends, then he has no choice, but he must go above reason and say that what I see and hear and feel, all that is not true. Because that it cannot be that the friends that I have chosen to bond with, I was mistaken, meaning that my calculation was mistaken, since I thought that I could be spiritually enriched by them because they have something that I don't. Therefore, if I join with them, I can rise to a higher degree than I thought. And now I see that, in fact, I see the opposite. And since I heard that Baal HaSulam said that the only advice that can help man to exit self-love and attain the love of God is the love of friends. Therefore, I have no choice, but I have to bond with those friends, although by appearance it would be better for me to stay away from them and not bond with them. But there is no choice. I have to believe above reason that indeed those friends all stand at a high degree. But with my eyes, I have no right to see their virtue. Therefore, I must believe above reason. But when he sees the virtue of his friend within reason, certainly he could make more benefits of his friends. But what can I do? There is no choice. But between man and God is another order, because where he could go above reason, it is better. And because of that, instead of man getting some aid within reason, meaning if he is endowed with some illumination from above, then he has the ability to say, now I see that it is worthwhile of being servant to the Lord, since I feel a good taste in the work. It turns out that he takes that feeling, that he feels a taste in the work, as a basis and a foundation over which he builds his Judaism. And now he understands with his mind that it is worthwhile to observe Torah and Mitzvot. It turns out that his basis is built on that condition, meaning that when he has taste in the work, then it is worthwhile to obey the Lord. It turns out that if it were not like that, meaning that if he did not have a good taste in the work, then he could not observe the word of God. And it is known that the kingdom of heaven should be, that the reception of the kingdom of heaven, the reception of the burden of the kingdom of heaven should be with all thy soul and all thy might. Meaning, even when it takes away his soul. Meaning, even if he has no livelihood whatsoever, not even a soul, he is still committed to being a servant to God. And not place any conditions before the Creator and tell him, if you satisfy my will, what I understand that I need, because in that I feel a deficit, if you satisfy my need, I promise that I will serve you. And if you do not do everything that I please, as I understand it, as I understand that I need it, I cannot take upon myself what you command me by Moses. But man should take the burden of the kingdom of heaven unconditionally, meaning even above reason. Moreover, a person should say that when we have to work above reason, it is not because the Creator cannot give us the reason, but we have to believe that all this is for our good. It turns out that between man and God, we should specifically try to keep it above reason. And if he receives some reason, he should do as above. Last words. There are several points here. We go back to the article. It says, turns out that he does not flaw, does not blemish the faith that he's been endowed before he attained it, because now he doesn't take it in, as a foundation, as a basis. Going above reason means that he has nothing to rely on, to build on. But he takes the illumination as a testimony that he's taking the right path. It's a problem. How do I take what I get, the insights I get from previous situations, the knowledge I get, the experience? Does it help me? It can help only as a testimony, not as foundation to take from it to continue my work. That only by working like this, the Creator brings man closer to him. No rishima, knowledge from the past, can conserve as a foundation for the continuing of the work. But it can only help him if he goes above everything he has thus far acquired. It says here in another place that the only advice that can help man to exit self-love and attain the love of God is the love of friends. And again he says it, and again we cannot hear. Therefore I have no choice, but I have to bond with those friends, although, as I see it, it would be better for me to stay away from them and not bond with them. But I have no choice. Why is that? Because when a person comes closer to the purpose, he is given all sorts of images, strange images about his friends. And according to his mind, he thinks that it would be better if he were alone. He would take his rabbi, for example, and take him elsewhere and study there. Then he would get everything, and his friends are only asleep, and they get in the way. And even when they do wake up, it is not as he understands it. But I don't have a choice, and I have to believe, above reason, that those friends really do stand at a high degree. That has to be above reason. But with my eyes, I have no right to see their virtue. Therefore, what does it mean? I've been here 5 years. That person came here yesterday. How can it be that he's a part of the society? I've put in more efforts. I've been here longer. I've done something. 5 years. And the pay is by the effort. I've suffered a lot. I deserve more. How can it be that a new person who has done nothing yet can he be of a higher degree than my own? I see that I demand more of my friends. I give them more than a person who doesn't show it. The thing is that it doesn't matter how I see things. What matters is how I relate. Because around me there is a system. That the benefit from it depends on how I relate to the system called the group. It might be that they're not together and they're not friends, but if I relate to them above reason, that they're really a great group, unique, the most spiritual group that can be, then that determines what I receive through them. The recognition of the greatness of the Creator and enthusiasm and all that. That's the beginning of the solution. Love of friends within reason means that I have to do things within reason and relate to them as I understand that I should love them, and as I see how I should relate to the Creator, I relate to my friends the same way, within reason. But to take them as great, I have to do it above reason, because I don't see that they're such, that they're so great. Of course you force yourself to love others. Who said you don't? Love our friends doesn't mean that you love them. It's the purpose that you want at all cost to come to a situation, to that situation, because by that is what your attitude to the Creator depends on. You want to come to contact with the Creator, cleavage with Him. I don't know what the Creator is. Something very high, very great, spiritual. I don't know what spiritual means. If I begin to interpret it, I'll stay away from it. I'll be turned away from it in order to bestow. something completely. So it doesn't matter how I picture the Creator. And I also don't want to picture Him too much, because I'll not begin to work then. I have to interpret Him as a force of bestowal without any relation to myself, completely detached from caring for itself. If I do it like that, I'll be immobile. So I just say that it's something great, worthwhile, good. It's called not for her name. Very egoistic. I want Him. It's not the actual not for her name, but it's the beginning. Because I cheat myself. I do it on purpose. By picturing Him as something great and worthwhile, my life is worthless. Taste and see that the Lord is good. There are good tastes, there are great things. So I decided there is no choice. The Creator gave me a chance to come to it, provided I pay for it. I have to pay for everything, right? But the price here is that I love my friends. So I have to do as much as I can toward my friends. So I do it. In order to invest in loving friends, I look at them, they're all nothings. So now I have to relate to them as great, take them not as I think, as they appear to me, but that the Creator regards them, highly regards them, so much so that He says, if you love them, I will allow you to come close to me and be with me. How does that happen? He regards them so highly that sometimes people come to me to get married. A woman came to me with a child from previous marriage, and the man she now wants to marry. So they asked me, should we marry? But the woman says, I'm afraid. I feel that he loves me, but I have a problem with my kid. Will he like the kid or hate him? If he loves the kid, I'll do anything. But if he's going to hate the child, I can't be with him. What do I do? So the Creator gives us that condition. And I don't have a choice. What can I do? It would certainly be better if the child was not there, but there is a child. So what do you do? Certainly without a group. But that's the way it is. Nothing in you gets in the way. Nothing in you was created for no reason. It is beneficial, but not directly. There are no disturbances. When the mind interrupts, it's a sign you should go above it, because that interruption is a reason for you to go above it. You should go higher than that, on top of that. Keep it. Examine it. Test it all the time. Test your thoughts, your desires. And then, when you continue despite them, you walk above them. You will receive such new attributes that you will not have to work like a computer at this thoughts. The more you rise, you will have slower thoughts. You will not have to be preoccupied with 1001 thoughts. It's because you can't tie them together still. It's because they're not focused on one goal, one condition. You still can't concentrate that picture. Little by little, you will stabilize it, and it'll be easier for you. Our problem is to concentrate on one thought. You're saying, I can't do anything I'm told. Can't bond with friends, can't go up on reason. We can't think of a creator. What's the problem with those things? They're all above reason. Because we were given a mind and obstacles on our situation in this world, that within reason go against the spiritual matter. So what's new here? What can you do? Nothing but to do as you're told. There's no other choice. The problem is that we wait. As Balasaram writes, that he has 1001 sayings that the Creator will finally think of me, and it'll come to me. What can I do? In the meantime, I do what I can. What can a person do? What more can a person do? It doesn't work. Balasaram writes that the Creator doesn't waive the effort for no one. The Creator is the general law of the universe. A person takes room in the spiritual space according to the equivalence of form. If you have equivalence of form, you're there. You don't need approval from the Creator. What is the will of God? The things that we say, the general law, the collective law works regardless of you. What is the wisdom of Kabbalah? There are roots that concatenate from up, down, and we have to climb them back up. So what can you do? If you don't want it, you don't have to. If you do, go ahead and do it. Why are you coming to me? You were given one thing that you can do. You can make an effort. I'll tell you, if you concentrate on how you relate to your friends in order to come to the Creator, you will finally be despaired and you will reach Him with a cry. But you will not come to the cry before you're despaired. And you can't despair if you don't actually try it on your friends. The solution is simple. Start working. Your problem is that you link the end of the way to connection with the Creator directly with your friends. It will not come directly. There's a cry in the middle. There's the crossing of the Red Sea in the middle. There's something that you go through, not with your own strength. You have to prepare a vessel for it, a need. It's not something you acquire. It's not that you acquire strength and then you come to the Creator filled with strength. You come to the Creator as nothing. Right now you're overblown. You have to come to be very small with a great desire and zero strength. And only when you're like that, you'll be prepared to cross the Red Sea and enter spirituality. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. You have to say, that's it. I've done all I can. I cannot do any more. You've not even begun. What are you crying about? Your cries are not even on the right track because you've not even begun. You've not begun to begin with your friends. You've never done anything for them. You've never done something to them in order to come to the goal. Maybe you've gone on picnics or stuff, but not in order to come to the Creator, not in the same direction. You shouldn't care that they're happy, but you should care that they're happy because that helps you come to the Creator, and that they'll give you back the greatness of the Creator to give you fuel to do more work. Without receiving fuel from them, now that you're in this situation, when I come from abroad, I don't have that much fuel. I get fuel from the surrounding. There's no choice. There's no other way. Maybe you could do it differently, but the Creator did it like that. Don't think you're so special. You're not worse, you're not better than anyone. We're all like that. When you come to the end of correction, you'll see that everyone is really the same. There's no difference between anyone at all. In spirituality, in spiritual attributes, not human attributes, maybe with this person it is better, easier for me to contact. With that person it is harder for me to contact. It is human attributes. But in spirituality, everyone is equal. There is no such question. If I'm a thief, I can't help myself. I'm kleptomaniac. I have a cure for that, by the way. A respectable woman came to me. She was caught stealing a nice spoon from a store. She came to me with her husband. Yeah, we have to do something about that. What should she do? She wants to be rid of that problem. It's a disgrace. It's a disease. So, they're looking for a way to lie to the body. To not want to do this. To not want to receive pleasure that way. It's a problem. Now she goes into other places. She can't control herself. It's like her own will to receive. We can't control it. But for her, it's like it is a little demented. So she seeks advice how to lie to the body to not do it, to not see those things, to take pleasures in a different way, more beneficial. Balasalam said that the Creator puts the board that you have to jump on next to the wall. You can't jump because it's next to the wall. You have to try. Your problem is that you can't lie to your body that whatever you do right now will all be in vain. You have to think that you can succeed. And ultimately, you'll fail. If you do not do, you will not create the vessel, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. It is a great vessel. Against it you have the greatness of the Creator. There's like a great light in front of them. The importance of the Creator. And in between them, there's this barrier, and they can't tie them together. That is why they sigh. That's your prayer. And you do not want to create that situation, so what can you do? And he's tried a couple of times and failed. He says, it's impossible. According to reason, he's right. We'll talk later about working with friends. You're asking details. He can't come to you and say, do this, and then that, and then this, and then that. He gives you all the tips. And along the work, when you get stuck, you see what tip to use next. The Torah is full of advice. filled with counsels. Maybe you guys still don't understand what you're coming to fight with, what terrible creature you are trying to fight here. It is a will to receive. It is a high mountain. It's not something. It is a giant that you cannot defeat. If it sees you, it tramples you without even noticing, and you're gone. That's it. You don't understand it. You think spirituality is, if you pinch yourself, it'll be enough. And that's it. You'll jump there. He also thinks, this guy thinks he's so smart, he can get there. You still don't understand what it means to go above your little beastliness. Even in this world, you don't know what it means. You don't even know how great the beastly attributes are. You're talking about spirituality? You have no idea what it is. It's like a baby crying. So how do we trick it slowly? Start. Sit like that, quietly, and think. What does it mean for me to start? There's a creator. My life, completely worthless. I have no choice. I have to come to him. To come to him, I don't know. I need more persuasion. Where do I find the importance here? We come with the question, what is the meaning of our lives? They tell us, taste and see that the Lord is good. How can it be? What kind of an answer is that? See what they do. The sages give me an answer. What kind of an answer is that? You feel bad? There's something there that will fill you up. Eternity, perfection. What kind of advice is that? If you feel bad, okay, if you'll be a millionaire, if you're a millionaire, then you'll be happy. That's an advice I can understand. There's only one thing. As he says here, the one advice that can help a person to exit self-love and attain the love of God is the love of friends. Now I sit thoughtfully, and I have no choice. What is the love of friends? And how do I come in contact with it, open it, acquire it, belong to it? That's what I have to put my head into. Not that, how many angels in the sky. Other things I will do with water and bread and salt. The one thing that will help a person is the love of friends. What can you do? He doesn't deceive you. It doesn't give you 1,001 tips. He tells you one thing only. If you want to attain good things, there's one door called the love of friends. That is where you have to go. Beyond that door, there are other doors. I don't want to talk about technical questions. I'm talking about the principle. You have to do that. If you want to take their advice, that's it. And then don't say anything else. If you want it, go ahead. If you don't, don't. Don't use your mind, because it's out of the question. It is irrational. It is an irrational path. You have to prepare your vessel. You work on the need. What crazy would work on the desire? What not would do that? Everyone wants to be satisfied. And after everything good that I do, I will get more desperation, a greater desire. So after a greater desire, I have to accumulate more energy, more fuel, to go into that bush again and be even more despaired. all these things, all these conditions, society should give me, provided I relate to it correctly. I have to be in a special dialogue with it. It doesn't go by our mind, not because it's a society. It doesn't sit with our mind. There are many successful societies in the world, in love and mutual help. People are willing to give their lives for one another. There's no problem. They have no problem with that. We read articles like that. But a submarine, how they're taught to be one unit. On the plane of this world, it's possible because you have the same, you have the vessel and the satisfaction on the same level. But here, when you begin to work with society, you begin to work on the spiritual vessel, which is empty from spirituality and will remain empty from spirituality. And then, before it is, as long as it is still empty, you will have to go against your mind, above reason. And you'll have greater questions and greater disappointments. And if you don't work correctly with society, there is no hope. There is zero hope for you. We will be only a factory for creating media. We're working for the next life. We'll return here again, and then we will continue. In the meantime, we'll work here in the flesh. That's the way it is. What is a testimony? If I'm in a bad situation, but that bad situation is a beneficial one, then is it good or bad? If I look at how I feel, it's bad. But if I look at my mind, which understands this whole concept, then it's good. What then strengthens me? From the future. The future should be given to me by society. The society should give me the sensation of the future. You need strengthening on the past. The Creator put your hand on the good fortune. The Creator puts your hand there and tells you that's where you should go. What does it mean to go? To strengthen yourself. By what? How? Only by through your friends. The testimony to a right action is if at the end of it you are more despaired and more desiring of the goal. Two things should grow in you. The point of Malchut and the point of Keter. A greater vessel and a greater surrounding light. You are, when you're despaired, you can't give your friends high spirits. Try and act it out. Pretend. The importance of a goal will give you, in the beginning you're given the importance of the goal, but then they take it away. Just like you were running here in the beginning. But then they take it away from you. You have to use it correctly, and you should transfer the supply of importance from the Creator to society. The Creator takes it away a little bit. He restricts himself, conceals himself, so that you will start to receive it by your work in society. You don't do it, so you remain without air in your wheels. You can't move, you remain immobile. The Creator puts your hand there, and he says, take it, but you're not taking. You have to get going. He doesn't play with you. These are set rules, and they will not link, and they will not change. Look at our natural laws. It will not help you if you jump off the roof. There are no miracles here. You should not count on miracles. You're asking me, how can I begin to work within society in order to get importance, the greatness of the Creator? How will I work on my friends so that for my efforts, they will give me the importance, the greatness of God? They will give it to me only provided I think about it and I work on my love for them. You've been here more than a year? My God, you've done nothing. I'm telling you seriously. Maybe you have more disturbances in mind and he has more disturbances in heart. We all get the same disturbances and nothing will help you. This is the only advice. That's it. Your friends. If you really want to progress, drop all other advice, other counsels. He tells you only this, love of friends. Let's discuss only this. Oh, what is this? This is something we will talk about tomorrow. Open that door. There is nothing but that. So you can just imagine that all the study you do here, and the media, and the rules you set here, they're all still not, it is not spiritual knowledge. It is a factory. Everyone should clearly see, understand, this is a factory. Now let's begin to think, what's above it? Above it, we have a door called the love of friends. I hate that name. I agree. And it is not the way that I want to go. I didn't think it had anything to do with it. I want him. I want to fly up there. I don't care about this world. They can remain here. I understand that, but that's what they tell me. Go into that room and do whatever you have to do there. What you have to do there, we'll talk about that later. But disconnect yourself from all other things. You shouldn't fool yourself that they belong to spirituality. Spirituality has to do only with what there is behind that door where it says love of friends. That is the one thing you deal with. Our media, our internet, we do it with our body. The heart, you have to go through that door. If you go in there, you have to discuss what you find there. Entering the door means that we pledge from this moment on to place this in our hearts, in our minds, that this will be the only important thing. And anything else in life is measured against this. That is the only thing we take into consideration. That's what it means, that this is the one counsel.